100.1 FM.
Well, here's a great suggestion by our next guest. We're going to be speaking to Mr. Troy Holmes. He's president of the Budgerigar Council of South Australia. And he suggests that if you are stressed out, try budgie therapy. Well, it works for you, doesn't it, Troy?
It does. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I think it's so interesting. I think growing up, most of us had a budgerigar in a cage and it would at us every morning, just gorgeous. What was the, first of all, your background? You're in the corporate world, aren't you? So you must get a bit of stress.
I am. I'm in robotics. So it's a very fast-paced area of industrial manufacturing, and we do a lot of work all over the world. And it's, you know, we're in the US at one minute and we're in Asia and the next minute, and trying to de-stress from all of that, budgies is just something great you can have at home.
That is so interesting. Can I just ask you a little bit more about that? When you talk about robotics in one particular area, or is it across the board of robotics being used in other areas, all different areas?
We primarily do industrial robotics, so manufacturing.
Okay.
And obviously there was a little bit of a movement away, you know, back in the 2000s where there was a lot of manufacturing that was lost in Australia, and some of that went to China. We've seen a lot of that come back now to Australia, and we've had a lot of sovereign capability being built up. So there's a lot of companies, particularly now in defence, that are looking at, you know, what can we manufacture in Australia and how can we do it successfully with all the supply chain issues that COVID brought.
That is a huge responsibility for the company that you're with. What is the name of the company?
Automated Solutions Australia.
Automated Solutions Australia. That is fantastic. Congratulations with all that you do. Okay, how did you discover a budgerigar?
My uncle had a market garden just across the road from where I lived, and he caught a budgerigar one day and brought it over to us and said, "Do you want it?" Now, it wasn't a wild one. We assumed it was somebody's pet that had gotten out. And I aptly named it Stefan after my best friend at the time. Took Stefan down to pet store, and the gentleman said to me, "Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Stephanie is Stephanie." So we kept Stephanie for a while, and eventually when she passed, we got another budgie, same colour, and of course this one was Stefan. So we set Stefan up above the freezer and had a great time with him, and eventually my uncle caught another budgie in the market garden, and this one was white. And my dad told me it was a giant canary. It turned out that it was an albino budgerigar.
Wow.
And we put them together in a cage, and they were getting along famously. So we decided we'll put a little nest box on there and see if they'll breed, and they did nothing. We thought that's really unusual because they seem like they're in love. So back in the day before the internet, we trundled down to the local library and found out the budgies are gregarious. So they breed around other birds.
Oh.
So they just breed on their own. So we decided let's get three or four pairs of these things and put them in a cage, and away we went.
My gosh, you've got to know them so well, haven't you? That's interesting. And tell me, did you get any babies from the albino one or the other?
We did. We got four amazing babies, so all these different colours of the rainbow, and I think that's what really captured my interest with the budgies. Unfortunately, about 4 weeks in, the mother decided to behead them. And I assume that is why somebody may have let her out, and we caught her as a budgerigar. But not to be deterred, I thought we'll try and breed from some of these other pairs, and we did, and bred some lovely birds. I took them to a bird show and actually did really well with them. And I had about a 10-year hiatus in budgies from when I finished high school to 2005. And when I came back into budgies, I reached out to one of the guys who was my original mentor. And he said to me, "Troy, I've got to fall on my sword and tell you, when you won that award with those budgies, you're only competing against yourself." There was actually nobody else in the class.
How to deflate somebody.
Well, he did hold on to it for, you know, 15 years. So.
Wow, I've never heard of people breeding to this extent. Is it true that you've got up to 400 of these birds?
I do.
Not all in cages at home, I hope.
Yeah, no, I've got all the cages. So we have a small farm.
Oh, right.
And,
okay.
I've got a shed that is climate controlled, and the birds are in there. They're living their best life. They're definitely in the budgerigar equivalent of the Hilton. But there are a lot of budgerigar breeders across Australia. Believe it or not, the budgerigar is apparently the world's third most popular pet, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, interesting.
So for a little native Aussie budgie to be punching above its weight, you go to America and, you know, I'm over doing a robotics project somewhere in Texas and you go to a pet shop and there's these shell parakeets for sale that are what we call budgies.
Is that right? Yeah. That is amazing.
Not that far from home.
Now, the purpose of breeding is, other than the fact you just adore them and to look at them and all the different colours and so on, you do on sell, do you?
Well, we do on sell them, but I primarily breed for the exhibiting side of it. Okay. So believe it or not, budgies are really, really competitive. So like you would have your German shepherds that go and have national titles, we actually have national titles for budgerigars.
Goodness.
And this year it was held in Victoria. So what happens is you'll have your budgerigar club and there's 28 different classes that they exhibit, and you go and your club picks, from all of the breeders in the club, they pick the best three of each of those 28 varieties, and they go to a state titles. And at the state titles, they pick the best three of each from all of the clubs, and then that forms the nucleus of the team that goes to wherever the nationals are. So
next
year they're in Launceston, and the year after they're up in Cairns.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Can I ask you what they're judged on?
So we have a standard of excellence that is defined by the World Budgerigar Organization, the WBO. So we have, it looks at their type, so how they stand on their perch. Pardon me, that they're 30 degrees in angulation off the perch, the way that they're shaped. So you're looking for the budgie to be a gentle sort of carrot shape. And then they're judged on their variety.
Wow.
So, and obviously the depth of their colour.
That is incredible. We've never heard about this before. So are there a lot of varieties? I mean, they're the same type of bird, aren't they? But they come in different colours through breeding.
Because we've been able to breed them in captivity.
Yeah.
pardon me.
That's okay.
We've had a lot of success, obviously, in the wild when you breed a white one, for instance. In a pack of 14,000 birds,
gosh,
it stands out and it's attacked by a hawk and it disappears and you never see it again.
Yeah.
In captivity, we're able to continue to reproduce those. So there are about 30 mutations of the budgie, just different colours. So you can get pure white ones, pure yellow ones. You get ones with grey wings, with brown wings.
Okay.
We actually even have rainbows. So there's ones that are all colours of the rainbow.
Oh, my gosh. They are beautiful, I've got to admit. I think growing up, everyone probably had a budgie in a cage at home. Tell me, are they talented at all? I mean, do you have one as a pet? Do you have a favourite? Do they talk? I'm not too sure.
So when you have them around other budgies, it typically interferes with them learning how to talk.
Okay.
So they'll chatter to one another most of the time. But that being said, there's a lady here in Adelaide who has a budgie that speaks both English and Japanese.
Oh, really?
There was a budgie back in the day that actually released their album on Abbey Road.
Really? That's amazing.
So it could speak that many words and it could sing songs. So we had a budgie fest over here earlier this year, and it was fantastic. We brought out all these talking birds, and it was a lot of fun listening to these birds and what they had to say. A couple of them made noises like bottles clinking and various things, so it was lovely.
I think that's why people get so attached to them if they've just got the one or two, at home. It's company for people, and you have suggested that if you're stressed out, try some budgie therapy.
Absolutely. I think there's nothing more therapeutic than caring for an animal, and a budgie is really a great balance between interaction and affordability.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people at the moment that, they can't afford a pet. Times are tough. There's a cost of living crisis going on, and budgies are becoming a lot more relevant. They're reasonably cheap, and when people are going out and buying them, they're actually posting on the internet that they're amazed at the level of interaction that they're able to have with them and the depth of the bonds that they're forming with them. So they do make a really wholesome pet, and obviously something that you can grow really attached to at the same time.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I'm not too sure about this. You say they're an Australian bird. Were they introduced to Australia?
No. The budgerigar is a native bird.
Okay.
The word budgerigar is actually an Aboriginal word.
Yeah, that
and
makes sense.
It actually means good tucker. And there's some debate as to whether that meant that the budgerigar was beaten or whether we call them murmurs, the big groups of budgerigars that fly through the air, where the Aboriginals saw them flying from and to were the watering holes. And, of course, there was good food around areas where water was plentiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where the name comes from. So, yes, it's definitely an Australian bird and it's only found in.
Do we have a Budgerigar Council over here in Western Australia?
You do. There is wabudgerigarcouncil.com.au. or I think that's actually .com. I apologise.
Okay.
But yes, you have several clubs over there in WA, and a couple of very good breeders. We recently lost one of them, passed away, but he was in what we call the AMBC Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's incredible.
So
if someone were to sell budgies, I think I read somewhere that they can be quite expensive. Not from the pet shop as a pet, but if you've got a special breed, would that be the case?
Look, I think if you're breeding something that's close toward that standard of excellence, obviously, no matter what kind of hobby you're in, there are birds or dogs or horses, for instance, that certainly get up there in cost. So
yeah,
there can be some very expensive ones. Your typical pet shop one that you would go and buy would be $20 to $25,
yeah, that's
something
good.
Like that. If you're finding a rainbow, it may be $60 to $100.
Okay, that's good.
Some of those more slightly, you know, intriguing varieties and the ones that are a little bit more in demand. But in terms of the exhibition bird, it really comes down to who's chasing that particular bird. So in other words, if there's an open breeder who's very successful on the show bench and he's known for an attribute, somebody like myself might want that attribute, mm-hmm. and so I chase it. And of course, there's 10 or 12 other people who want that same attribute, and we're all trying to bid for it. And of course, it's worth as much as one of us is willing to pay for it.
That is just fantastic. Great story. It really is. So with your 400 budgies that you've got at the back of your property there, are they noisy little birds? Do they wake you up in the morning?
No, they don't. But that's one of the things about budgerigars that's really cute. You know, the trill or the chatter of the bird as such.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful noise. I saw sun conures in a store once, and I fell in love with them, and I walked up to them, and I was in love with them right up until the point where they screamed at me, and I thought, oh, my God, this gigantic screech. And with a budgie, you've got this beautiful little chatter, and, of course, mine are in an air-conditioned, climate-controlled room, so mine are actually inside. I can bring them outside, so my aviaries are all portable. So during the nice summer days, I bring them out and they get a bit of sun, and then they go back inside and they don't have to sit out there in the storm. So at night time, most of the time, you'll never hear them because they're obviously hidden away inside.
They must be very thankful to you, Troy, that's for sure. You're continuing with your hobby and running a huge business. That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. I think people are going to be having a renewed interest in having a budgie as a therapy, definitely.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Thank you, Troy. There you go.